You know, when I was trying to come up with the topic for the sermon, I just looked and looked and thought, and I came up with trials. And I know this is one that I've never preached about before, and I think it's something we always, even though we know about these trials, we need to be reminded of them and what we need to do to take care of them every day of our life when we have those. But I have a question for you. Why does God allow the righteous to suffer? Have you ever thought about that question? Why are the good people having to suffer? Well, obviously, God has a purpose for everything, and we're going to talk about that today. At the end of Hebrews 11, which is the chapter on faith, the Hebrew writer talks about the various accomplishments of God's faithful. And I'd like to read that right now. Hebrews 11, starting verse 32 through 35. Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 35. And it says, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection." Now here we're seeing the accomplishments of God's faithful. What they had done, the great things they had done for God and for the people around them. But now let's continue with verse 35 and go through 38. Some of the things that we're going to be reading here may make us stop and think. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So here, we were talking about the accomplishments before of God's faithful. Now we are talking about the trials that they were confronted with. In our reading today, the half-brother Jesus, James, tells us how we should respond to these various trials which we have in our own lives as Christians. He tells us what God is doing and what we must do if we are to be successful. Let's look at James 1 and 2 that Emmanuel read for us again. And it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Now notice here, James is not saying when you meet various trials, James is not saying if you meet various trials. He's saying when you meet various trials. So yes, these trials, and we've all of you, I know, have been through these some trials along the way. We're still going to have more. As long as we walk this earth, we will be having trials. And God wants us to overcome them the best we can, but doing it the way God wants us to, not the way man wants us to. Now, I know you might have heard somebody saying that before you became a Christian, oh, when you become a Christian, that road will be easy. God's not going to, give you trials that you have to go through. Well, I think we all know better than that. There's no way that God is going to not give us trials. And we're going to talk about the reason why he gives us trials in a little bit. So, what are the trials that James is referring to? You know, when we look at James and we look at some of the trials that people were going through, we find that he was writing to a lot of poor Christians. And he wrote about how they were being mistreated. So let's look at James 2, verses 2 through 6. James 2, verses 2 through 6. Here James is talking about showing partiality. And it says, "For a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'You can sit at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court?" So here we see an example of where the rich is not treating the poor right and dragging them to court, dishonoring them in worship assemblies. And we have one more I want to talk about. We find in James 5, verse 4, which says, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." So again, we have the rich that are not paying their laborers for the work that they had done. You know, when James said we'd meet various trials, he included more than just those that where we're being mistreated. And I'm sure that somewhere along the line we've been mistreated. I know I have from time to time, and it probably has happened to a lot of you. But he included many trials, which many here today have experienced. Sickness, disappointment, the loss of a loved one, loneliness. And of course, there are many, many more that you have probably experienced or will experience in the future. So how does James say we should respond to these trials? Well, we've already mentioned it. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. How do we do that? I know when I was a young Christian, hadn't been a Christian very long, and I came across this verse, I thought, what? Have joy when you're suffering? You're having these trials? That doesn't make sense. But as I studied the scriptures more, I found out, yes, it does make sense. It makes perfect sense why God is doing this. James, when we look at James, we see that the world and Christians are going to count our trials as joy in different ways. And I want to talk about, I want you to think about two things this morning. First of all, it's how we respond to trials. We don't want to respond to trials like the world does. You know, the world is going to respond to the trial, and not, I can't say all the world, but many of the people in the world are going to be angry, be upset, lash out, or even might be blaming God for the trials that they're going through. But we as Christians are to distinguish ourselves from the world. and celebrate those trials with joy. Philippians 4:4, here we have Paul telling us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because we should know by now that God is in control. We need to trust in God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that those who love God, all things will work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, if we trust in God, all things are going to work out for the good. The second thing I want you to think about this morning is to have the right attitude when you're dealing with these trials. In Romans 5:2, Paul writes, through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, it's our faith that's what's being tested here. It's our faith that in which we have to work on. But through our faith, we have gained access of God's grace. You know, grace, those things that God gives us, even though we don't deserve them. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because he allows this to happen. We find in the very next verse, in Romans 5, verse 3, where he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So let's talk a little bit about the endurance first. And you might substitute other words there, perseverance, patience, and other words would fit there. But when we look at endurance, what it's saying there is, when we have trials, and we are counting these trials as joy, we need to be able to build up that endurance to help us through the trials. And if we are doing what God tells us to do, we will gain endurance, which will prepare us for the next trial, and the next trial that follows that, and so on. So it's important that we understand what the endurance is talking about. When we are having trials, we need to make a choice. And what is that choice? Well, if we look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Again, trust in the Lord. God knows better than we do. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to do it your way when you're dealing with these trials. Do it the way God wants you to do it. We do this because we know what it says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we know that Satan can challenge God, but he isn't going to win. And we aren't going to win either if we challenge God. And as I said earlier, God uses these trials for a purpose. Why can we respond to these trials with joy? It's because we know that these trials are a test of our faith. Yes, God does test us. He's seeing where our faith stands. Is our faith genuine? God is using those trials to perfect our faith and make us a stronger Christian. Romans 1:3 tells us, here Paul speaking, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance. And I know I've used that word already twice and be using it some more. So it's important that we understand how important that endurance that is to us working through trials that we will suffer. And Peter gives a little more of a spin here about these trials. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So when we look at this, we see that Peter is talking about refining, just like refining gold. These trials also refines our faith. And what's the purpose of refining? Refining is removing the things that don't need to be there, that shouldn't be there. If we talk about gold, it's getting rid of any of the materials around it so that we have pure gold. Same thing with our faith. These trials help to refine our faith. It helps to remove those impurities that we might have in our lives and have us trust in God. And our faith is being tested, as it says here in verse 7. It's tested because it's checking the genuineness of our faith. Is it genuine? Is it real? Are we doing what God wants us to do? This testing of our faith, again, produces endurance. And we find many examples in the New Testament of the importance of, and the need for Christians to develop this quality of endurance in facing difficulty. Let's look to see how Paul described the various trials he experienced. And we know Paul went through many trials, especially after he was a Christian. He was shipwrecked 3 times, stoned near death, whipped, flogged, imprisoned, and I'm sure many other things happened to him. Let's see how he responds to this. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So here we have Paul telling us, hey, these trials were nothing compared to what can happen, what is going to happen when the glory is revealed to us. When Jesus comes back again and reveals that glory, nothing compares. God's goal is for us to be perfect. Not talking about perfect in sin, because we know we all sin and we're going to fall short of the glory and we will sin. But we're talking about faith. Look at James 1, verse 4, and it says, "Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God wants us to be perfect. He wants us to lack nothing. He wants us to follow God, trust in God, and do His will. So in conclusion, God is not finished with us yet. You will have more trials. Hopefully you will confront them in joy, because you're knowing that God is testing your faith and trying to help that faith grow. He's using the various trials which you will continue to face. And he's doing that to refine your faith. He's seeking to produce a person who is able to endure under very difficult circumstances. His main goal is that you will continue to grow in your faith, lacking in nothing. Now, do you respond with the trials which you encounter in your life with joy? If you do, then you're already on your way to that maturity and wholesomeness that God expects from you. If you aren't practicing, when you get have these trials, not confronting them with joy, then you need to wake up and start doing that. Trust in God. That's the key. Trust in God. Do His will. And these trials will be a lot easier. Lean on Him, not on your own understanding. Thanks for your attention. At this time, we offer the invitation for those that haven't accepted Jesus as the Savior and wants to put Him on in baptism, or for those Christians that need to come forward for prayers, or for any reason, if you need to come forward, please do so as we sing the song of invitation.